with them.
Recorder.
And everyone should know the meeting's being recorded.
You just talked to William and all, Bill at all? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Come back.
He usually rides his bicycle.
Right. Well, same may not be the night for that.
I hope you didn't get run over.
I hope not. Those stupid red and white stop signs just disappear in a fog like this.
We do.
It's the black and yellow signs telling you when's coming up that you can see, right? Which we still had our old black and yellow stuff.
My solution on a night like this is I wait for a car to go first in front of me, and then I follow it. I don't want to be the first one in the street.
I guess it's getting to be.
We wait on people. Oh, I'm here.
Well, James is here.
Yep. And we got a quorum.
So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
James is here. Yeah.
There's no action to be taken anyway. I think we can just get a round table. I wanted to know what people think we should be doing. A good place to start.
Okay.
Who wants to
start? Can you give us an
oh dear. Okay, call to order. We do have a quorum. Any public participation? Yes?
I'm Ann Russell, and I think that my friends have been bugging you. Anyway, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I provided mental health services at Francis Nelson for 5.5 years, and before that I was in Piatt County in the mental health center out there. So Mammy asked me to sit and be a liaison to these meetings because they want to know what's going on, so Sheila Ferguson had to step down. And I think most of you probably know that the largest mental hospital in the state of Illinois is Cook County Jail. So if we're going to be building a new jail that's also going to act as a mental hospital, we need to think about what we're going to do about that. So that's basically what I want to say tonight. I'm not afraid to speak up.
Well, and the problem is, you know, that the county has to hold them until there is room in a mental hospital, and Quinn is closing them as fast as he can. I mean, it's a problem.
It's terrible.
It doesn't look like there is any real outlook to get the mental health problem out of the jail. So the thing we really need to consider is how the jails can handle it properly.
Yeah.
Which they're not doing now, I think, yes?
Well, I'll wait my turn.
Anyone else for public participation? Who wants to start with where we should go?
Well, I have a proposal about that very thing.
Okay.
Which I jotted down because I thought it might be a little hard to just say it clearly. This is not the only thing I think we have to attend to, but I think it's one thing. Since I've been thinking about how we might be add to our theoretical and abstract and philosophical conversation some things that are practical, and this is an example to me of something that's quite practical.
Yes.
So if it's useful, I'll say it out loud. Oh, I can give one to the recorder as well. So what I'm suggesting is that the task force provide some practical suggestions for how the county board can use some of its resources to reduce the likelihood that residents will need to spend time in jail. So we might recommend, for example, and it so happens to be on this very topic. What I'm saying here, I'm not wedded to these words. I just wanted to get the idea out. The county board should allocate funds to a call for proposals as an incentive for the cities or local agencies to provide services designed to prevent arrest and jailing of people brought by the police to the emergency rooms because they are behaving in ways that cause the police and others to suspect emotional disturbance, but who are not admitted to the hospital. In such circumstances, police often have no local alternative other than arrest and jail, which is often inappropriate. The call for proposals could specify that applicants provide some amount of matching funds in order to expand available resources. The County Mental Health Board already has a systematic way to evaluate proposals for local mental health services. Creation of a call for proposals jointly funded by the county and other agencies, with the proposals evaluated and services monitored by the Mental Health Board, could be an efficient and effective way to stimulate local initiatives designed to reduce the number of people who are inappropriately in jail because of mental illness. So I offer that as one example of a very practical step that the county could take, and one way to use its resources that would be a lot more efficient than arresting people and then having to pay for mental health services that are going to be not very effective in the jail. So that's my suggestion for the moment.
There's another class of people that fall right into there, which is homeless people who are in for peeing in the park and other criminal offense.
That would be an example of people.
These ordinance violators who have no rights, no lawyers, and they aren't really sent to jail. They're given a fine. And then they spend a day in jail for each $20 of the fine, which generally adds up to rather a long sentence. And they've done nothing criminal. There are an awful lot of people in jail for offenses that don't seem to be criminal, most of it. Okay, who else wants? I like that.
I was just going to ask a question about, I have... just read these from the minutes of the task force meeting that I was not at, and I'm just trying to figure out today's purpose would be to design the scoping of the task force work for this final session.
That's right.
And in that vein, is it my understanding that the task force is, or the members are asked to bring proposals of alternatives? That's what I represent here. Is that what establishing goals and scope of what we'd like to do in this session?
We've got sort of 3 months to influence the needs assessment, and 2 months after that to try and influence the board. So we need, it's not just a matter of policies and proposals and principles so much as what can we do, how can we do it, how well will it work, and I hope Darlene will help us a whole lot on that.
I'm new. I was having the same question, actually. I'm sort of trying to figure out what our purpose is. Is the purpose that we're supposed to come up with alternatives, or is our purpose that we're to develop a process by which some alternatives can happen, or I'm just not clear on what we're trying to do.
Have you guys seen the actual report?
I did. I have the actual report right here. And my understanding is that up to this point in time, that there were three... In this report, there were three options put forth of kinds of things that might need to happen. One was for mental health services, one was for... I'm trying to remember them, but...
It was an alternative day program.
Yeah.
Some other programs.
So are we investigating those more thoroughly, or are we saying we can present other options, or are we making a list for the county to consider?
That's what we're discussing tonight.
Okay.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to me that we should be, our starting point should be what is in that report, that we have to go forward from that. And I would like to add a couple things to that, but I think the key point is one that we have to develop proposals in those areas, and I think what Julian has put forward is the beginnings of that process. But I think the second thing is that those things that we're recommending and other things, do require resources. So it seems to me we have to begin to look at some reallocation of the funds from the public safety sales tax in order to be able to fund initiatives like this or have matching funds and all the other kinds of programs that will be preventative rather than simply improving on the jail facilities. And if we allocate all the resources that are available from the public safety sales tax, because we don't have another source of money, let's be honest, there is no other revenue flow that's going to be directed toward some kind of criminal justice reform other than what's there. So we have to have some kind of understanding of how we might restructure the way that money is spent in order to be able to develop the proposals. So we should be developing the proposals, but at the same time, we need to look a little more closely at the finances of them and make sure that our proposals have budgets attached to them. Otherwise, they're going to be meaningless to the county board.
I believe that, you know, pretty much the quarter cent is allocated to paying off the debts for the jail, the courthouse, and the, I think, even the juvenile detention. And there will come a time when some of that gets paid off and they can issue new bonds. And that's, will be in a few years. And I think that's what brought this whole discussion to the fore, is the fact that there would be money in the future, not by getting some of the bonds paid off. Is that correct?
That's one option, yeah. And then just to share with you my perspective, which is very consistent with what you've heard as well, is this was a preliminary report, but I do think it provides the foundation for the next step. And I think I'd love Julian's example. It does dovetail one of the, we call it potential recommendation, because again, we really wanted to get more meat to the bones, we wanted to make more inquiries and the like. But potential recommendation number 4 says comprehensive improvement should be made to mental health and substance use disorder treatment programs and services in order to develop a behavioral health system of care that avoids incarceration, reduces recidivism, and promotes rehabilitation. Now, what Julian is giving us is an example of, here then will be a specific tool to implement that recommendation. Mm-hmm. So I think building on that as an example is one step that we, the next step will be, what other specific recommendations can we give that will show how we can, you know, as they say, give meat to the bones. One of the challenges we're going to face is that we want to help make sure that the needs assessment provided by ILPP is as valuable as possible to the county, because we've all seen needs assessments, at least I have, that are really not very useful. And what we are very specific with ILPP that we felt as a task force, we needed some data, and we need some number crunching, and we particularly needed a risk assessment done for them to come back and say, you know, with this risk profile, this percentage and these numbers could be, if they're serving sentences, effectively sanctioned with these other alternatives, and here would be the cost savings. We need those kind of specifics. So on the one hand, we need some the data from them, but on the other hand, we want to help guide their process. So there's kind of an interesting synergy here, because we want specifics, but some of that specifics is data that we're awaiting from them.
I think Darlene has some of that data, don't you?
Well, actually, I don't for adults. I have it for youth. Mm-hmm. We operate the diversion programs for youth. But for adults, my couple of first questions would be that exactly what you're saying is that let's just pick this one because it's sitting in front of us, about this diversion for people who come to the emergency room but are mentally ill and don't really need to be arrested because it was really another issue. Do we have any idea how many people that is per year? Or is that, if we actually implemented something there, would that affect 2 people, or would that be 20 people? It's just hard, you know, it's hard to tell.
I have this kind of information about it, and the reason that it, by the way, what this was just, I sort of mistake, I realized that having done this with these folks for the last 6 or 7 months, I was just picking up
we're
continuing.
We're trying to catch up.
But one of the things I've done is attend meetings between the various police forces And from the police point of view, this is a huge problem for them.
Okay. So, this is
they've been presenting to each other, actually, and some to the mental health center, actually, as well, that this is a kind of problem. They don't want to bring people to jail often, but they don't know what else to do because there is no alternative. And this is something, so they're totally aware of it. Now, the total numbers, they're going to vary from police department to police department on how good the statistics are, but there's probably enough data there to say that it is not a trivial problem. And, of course, you can look at it from the other end and see how many people show up in the jail who might not really belong there if there were another alternative for them. So you can kind of get it from both ends, but it's not one or two people. They tell me that each of the police departments are saying, this happens every day. So if you just think about, gee, what if it was one person a day? Well, that would be a lot of times. And then, you know, how many people are repeat people and things like that, we're not sure. But it's not trivial. So that's what I mean.
Then the next question I would think would be, if you have some sort of assessment screening tool or triage point, then what you want to try to do is set up an array of possible choices for that person that's doing the screening to be able to say, in these cases, they would go here, in these cases, we'd refer them here, in these cases, and hit your biggest pools of whatever the biggest problems are, or the biggest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say one other thing about it, just to be clear what I was thinking. And, okay. You know, again, this is just what I'm thinking. I'm not even stuck on it necessarily. But what I was thinking is this, that we're not in a position in terms of mental health services, at least I'm not in a position, to actually know what are the potential resources in this community among the many. There's lots of people who do mental health work in this community. And I thought what this approach could do would essentially call for proposals from the people who are already have this responsibility but who claim, when asked, they don't have the resources to do the many things they could think of. So I think one of the ways to do it, instead of us telling them what to do, would be to say, okay, what kind of things could you offer given, and you know, if there's a call for proposals and there's a certain amount of money available. And I think could also be in a position, because I've heard that there's interest in this, in asking some of the cities to put some money into it, or maybe some of the, you know. So I think it doesn't have to be completely funded by the county. I think there's a way to have this multiply, because I think this is a problem that many people are aware of, and it's a problem for certainly a problem for the police forces in town. And so they're interested in generating some alternatives. So anyway, my point is, my approach that I'm suggesting here is not that we say what program to do, but rather that we create a system that encourages such programming. So that was my intention. So, good questions.
Just in terms of numbers, when we did ask when the sheriff at one point was asked to put forward a list of people who had mental health issues who were in the jail, it was about 40%. About 40 or about 20% of the jail population. But I mean, one of the things that we asked for from the ILPP is a cross-reference list of the jail population. That is, that we get a list of people that deals with the various categories that are where the problems are, where we have people who shouldn't be in there. So we're trying to cross-reference mental health issues, substance abuse issues, what charges people are in for, and what race. So we want to see how much cross-referencing there is in those categories, because we know, for example, that there's a lot of people with dual diagnosis of substance abuse and mental health. So how do we, if we're just dealing with one and not the other, is that going to be enough? If not too many African Americans have mental health diagnoses, then a mental health program may not necessarily deal with those issues. But we don't know that. We're trying to get that picture from the ILPP. At the moment, we have We have one snapshot of the jail population, which was done by the NIC and the National Institute of Corrections for the study for the report for the sheriff in 2011. We actually did one over the weekend, which brings out some of this data, but not as detailed as the NIC.
Would it be possible to give those pages? Do I have to go back in minutes, or how would I get the statistics?
The NIC report. They need
the NIC report.
Yeah. We should probably identify things that will help. The NIC report would be important.
Cheryl says she's got it.
These type of things are all in the memos for the first couple meetings.
Okay.
Things like this and the study session on the jail. They should be posted online if you go back and
look at the
agendas for the first couple meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Could I just ask a basic question? What is the charge? What is the charge of the task force? Is from the county to this task force? What is the charge? And one thing that I've heard is, are we talking about alternatives to jail or building new jails? And there are some specific recommendations this task force is already generated. What happened to those? Where did they go? What did they do with them?
Everyone was supposed to get them. Didn't everyone get a report from the old?
But where did it go? I mean, where?
It hasn't gone.
Has it gone to the county?
It went to the board, yes.
It's a work in progress.
It was just a progress report.
A progress.
This
we
is
did
where
give
we
a
are.
Progress report to the county board.
Yeah, because I saw your record.
But it was just a progress report.
Can I give a 2 minute?
Yeah.
Let me just jump in for a second.
Okay, go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm going to have to leave at 7. I've got to be at Urbana City Council. But I just wanted to, I was going to ask kind of on the same line that you just raised. I agree that we should start from where the progress report left off, because there are some other things that certainly I would like to see in that report, including, as I expressed to Mr.
Who will help me with that?
Swardini. That certainly there has to be a reallocation of funds. If we're serious about alternatives, then you got to reallocate funds. There's no question about that. There are no other dollars except the ones that currently exist. So this committee, my understanding as I sat on the board side, was to find and bring the research forward for the alternatives that we could propose to the county around this issue. So that is the reason why I'm here today, and it's the reason why I was following Dan. And as we look at those as real solutions, there's a give and take that is going to have to take place from the county side, right, and the city side, right, and the community side, because we understand that there's one pot of money. We can't build our way out of crime. That's a fact. So we know that. We also know that crime statistics are going down, so there are some other factors that contribute to the amount of people that are inside of the jail, and we should never, ever ignore the obvious. So a lot of data already there to show you that crime is going down, yet incarceration is still stable. So we need to look at really the figures and facts that James just laid out. The NIC started with it, but they didn't get but a small snapshot of that. Hopefully, once ILPP comes back with their report, and the charge of ILPP was to pull out some of that data, this committee will overlap that report so that this committee will have a time to review that and then do a final recommendation to the county board as to, okay, since we got this from ILPP, this is really what the citizens, and we represent the citizens of Champaign County, would recommend as it relates to what they found and what we've done on the front end as here's some alternatives that you could do reducing your population. That's really what the reason why I'm sitting here today, because I believe if the Prairie Center Detox Program had been funded when the state cut all of the revenue, then we know that some of those folks who are suffering with drug addiction, who then goes and steals some stuff at the local store, would not necessarily be getting prosecuted at the county. They wouldn't be. They would be at the Prairie Center.
If we had enforced prohibition on the racial basis that we've enforced the war on drugs, we'd still have prohibition.
I get it. So the final thing I'll say on that issue is that I like the call for proposal idea because, of course, maybe we're not covering all the bases that we think we're covering, or maybe we're not funding those programs that exist, and we already talked about this. We have programs, but are we funding them adequately to address the needs of Champaign County? Perhaps we're not. And then finally, on the mental health issue, we had a recent incident that was in the newspaper, and this young man, who's related to me by marriage, has mental illness. He was incarcerated at a young age for something he really, in my opinion, should never have been incarcerated for if he had better services. But he was. He got out and have had trouble transitioning, and he has real mental health issues that he has no medical card, no health insurance, and couldn't get services. And then finally, he thought he was doing something funny and put mustard all over the Veterans Memorial, and we knew that there was problems already. So when the sheriff got a hold of him, he called me on the phone. He knew me. He knew he could call me, so he called me and he said, "Hey, Carol, I got your nephew here," and I mean, he hadn't committed a crime. He had hurt himself, and technically we could have charged him with a crime for defacing the memorial for mustard. I don't know if we want to do that. So the sheriff says he didn't. And finally, they took him to Carl because he injured himself but couldn't take him anywhere else for the mental health issue. That was the real, I mean, that is the reality of what we're facing. And more people are having serious difficulty because society is really closing in on a lot of people, and everybody is not able to adjust to that. And so when they come out of the institutions, that is the biggest gap right there, right, when they come out of the institutions.
That's a perfectly good example.
Yeah.
And so I met with the sheriff in my office just so that I can try to help move this young man. Finally got him some help at Community Elements, even if it was temporary. But the reality is they could not long-term really address his needs because he didn't have any medical insurance. What do you do?
And I've listened to, when I was in just a little, I'm just going to add to the fire here, but listening to the police talk about this kind of a problem, the exact...
I know, they told me all
many examples of the kind you just gave. The people representing the local hospital's emergency rooms said, well, how did they put it? That's a behavioral problem. That's not mental illness. What? Now, I'm a psychologist. I want to tell you that that is a nonsense response. But what it represents is an attitude that they don't want those people in their mental health units, such as they are.
Yeah.
You know, one for thing all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with whether or not it's a mental health problem.
For every number that you heard from the police department dealing with these people, there are two or three they never arrested.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that they turn away. They know. The
right.
Police know. They'll just take which is about the hardest case they can deal with and try to look for an alternative. But they turn away two to three people. I mean, in our detox, we saw 800 people a year. And of that 800, when we closed it down, the police, we have the police department on our board. We're just telling us the police department is just not picking them up anymore. They can't take them to the ER because the ERs are not detox.
Yep.
And they don't detox them. So they don't even pick them up. So they're left to be in the street. So that's what I mean. When you're looking at data and you're looking at what's there and what's approaching them, they can tell you what does come there, but there's three to four.
It's an underestimate of the real problem.
Yes.
That's true, for sure.
Yeah.
They do it on purpose because, I mean, they really only bring in the ones that they just feel like they just can't, you know, it's dangerous or they're worried that, you know, they're going to inadvertently hurt themselves or somebody else. So,
Bruce, the specific charge was we were to develop recommendations to reduce recidivism, to promote rehabilitation, and to facilitate reentry of returning inmates, whether from jail or prison. The catalyst for that was there was this issue of the downtown jail. It looked like the automatic response to that issue was going to be construction. And so that galvanized a core group of citizens and people on the county board and the like to say before any decisions are made regarding the jail, we should look at alternatives. When we say alternatives, that's in the broad sense of even if they haven't been convicted, what should we do with those who are right now detained in jail pending trial or guilty plea, those serving sentences in jail. And then right now, Julian's giving example of people who may not even be detained yet but are on their way. I to get back to where we might go, I think Julian again has given us an example. And what we might consider is with certain of these potential recommendations right now, fleshing out, not doing it, when I say right now, I don't mean at this meeting, but dividing it up so that, for example, the recommendation, you've given one specific example, what could be done with that, some others. And then recommendations 5 and 6 focus on the pretrial services program, and number 6 is getting a range of community-based sanctions and additional diversion options, like, you know, whether it's expanded drug court and the like. We could look at more specifics of how to implement those. So we could have a group looking at number 4, and you've given us an example, similar specifics for 5 and 6, and then number 7 would probably be another one that we want to flesh out more, because that talks about additional treatment programs and reentry planning. There's a lot more we can do with reentry planning. There really, it's my understanding, there isn't reentry planning. So we might think about, is that a possible framework to go forward? Part of the, and then who would want to, like, focus on recommendation 4? It sounds like you're already there. Who would want to do 5 and 6? And you guys might have other ideas. I'm just kind of putting that on the table.
I one thing I would add, I like what you're saying personally, but the one thing I would add is what Carol began with, and we've said it, but I think we should make this, there is the presumption, and you stated the presumption that probably has to now, I'm realizing, front everything, that there's a limited pot of resources, and the question has to do with reallocation of resources. We should address that directly.
Yeah.
To begin with, because it's sort
it
of, I mean, in the absence of that, everything else we're saying is a moot point, right? So we should just get it right out front on the table and let that be dealt with, and then talk about our suggestions for how to attend to those that reallocation. But I think we should just confront it directly, unless there's some reason I don't understand about the politics of it for not confronting it directly.
James. I think we have to go ahead. We have to run with these things parallel. I totally agree that we need to have a better grasp of the resources, and I think we need some more detailed, you know, financial analysis, particularly of the public safety sales tax, what the options are with reallocating some of that money. I think that's going to take a while because there's going to be some debate and discussion about what can actually be done about that with that money, and I think we're going to have to hear a few different perspectives in order to kind of get on top of it. But I agree with Lynn that in the meantime we should be going forward with specific proposals. I mean, I think one of the reasons why the mental health piece was a starting point is that it was one issue on which everyone that had participated in the debates and the discussions about this had identified as a problem. The sheriff identifies it as a problem. The people in mental health services identify as a problem. People in NAMI identify as a problem. And the people who are opposing the jail identify as a problem. So it was a unifying piece, and it's also a national, identified as a national issue. So it seems to be one proposal that can bring a lot of people on board. So I think that's one reason to do that. I mean, I'm personally, since I'm here in the capacity of representing citizens with conviction, I'm interested in looking more at the recidivism piece, and in particular, since during our holiday period, I've been doing some research into some best practice on programs for people coming home from prison, and I've identified at least one program, and I've got a lot of information in Richmond, California, a program called Safe Return Home, and I'd like to, at the next meeting, you know, bring a proposal involving, you know, a proposal similar to that for Champaign County in terms of providing sort of a one-stop service for people who are coming back from prison, because as Lynn has noted, there's virtually nothing for people when they're coming out.
I'd like to mention just one thing, which is when they reconstituted this committee, they did add rural problems and youth as things that we should consider, and racial disparity. And the racial disparity and the youth thing just seem to be inseparable. That's where it happens. the guy who reported on first intake and all these varieties of diversion was talking about the fact that it starts out proportional. The first arrests are pretty much proportional racially to the population. And with each successive problem, it grows more and more African. And I don't know why, but clearly we are, our diversion efforts are not doing as well with them as they are with the whites. And it is a problem we need to look at because that's where the disparity happens.
I think Lynn is right about approaching it, maybe dividing them up according to what was already recommended. Mm-hmm. Other recommendations can be added. And then if a few people want to get together and work on the revenue piece, we can do that. At least so that smaller groups are at least tacking all of the recommendations that were already proposed, and then the new recommendations can be added to the proposal so that there is a wealth of resources and things that are available that may not have been proposed previously. And frankly, even, and we've looked into this, you know, there are many alternatives. We can do a day center, a day reporting center. We know 20% of the folks incarcerated are there for nonviolent offenses. We do have some of the ordinances, bonds, traffic.
None of the women was in for anything violent.
None of the women were, well, one. There was one that was on.
The time I asked, it was none.
Yeah, I know a couple that would be.
We did a couple. There was maybe two people that were actually on violent offenses and the others weren't. So perhaps a day reporting center is something that was recommended before. Maybe we need to be looking at that because instead of saying we need this bigger jail to hold maximum security no matter what level they are, we may need a day reporting center. Turn our downtown into that. That might be a solution so you don't have all these folks inside of the jail that don't need to be there. The mental health piece is growing. I cannot say that enough. We have 7 people that come to the post office building downtown Urbana every day that are absolutely in need of services. But one guy told me yesterday he was just there because he had no shelter. He had no shelter. Guy called me and said, well, I'm on parole. I'm going to call my probation officer and tell him to come pick me up because I have no shelter, nowhere to go, finish his term. So, I mean, this is a growing problem, and I don't think that any county can ignore it, that this is a growing problem. Mental health services, housing is a huge problem. When you have no public housing, you are going to have problems, and your jail becomes housing. I mean, that's what the information shows us.
Well, and the shelters don't want the mentally ill.
They don't want the mentally ill because they cannot handle them.
Right.
I understand they don't have the medical services to handle mentally ill people, right? So they put them out. We have people at the time center that are banned from the time center because of mental illness. So, I mean, I think those are the recommendations that come out of here don't necessarily need to fit in the box. They probably should be outside of that box. Because we know housing is not going to be the end all. We built that jail out here, and now you're talking about building another jail on top of that. There is no end all to jail building. That has been proven already. So this committee really has an opportunity to put in front of the county board some serious alternatives so that the courts are not overloaded, the defense is not overloaded, the prosecutor is not overloaded, the jail keepers don't have all these people in here that they can't handle either. That's the reality. And I think that's what we need to really spend this time doing.
Well, given meat to the bones to 5 and 6, I mean, I know that a logical place to plug me in would be 6. And if we have several people on each one, I mean, I'm hoping, Scott, you do 5 and 6. I could do 5 and 6 just because I've done pretrial before.
Sure.
I feel like I know. And then we'd have to decide, you know, where everybody else is interested in and make sure it's balanced, but try to get meat to the bones.
Are you talking about the
recommendations?
Yeah, I see them in 2 places. They're one on starting on 7, page 7. Those are potential recommendations.
7A.
Yeah, and then I'm back in what you wrote, the part you wrote about potential recommendations, which don't seem to line up with the first one. So
yeah, I wrote my memo first, and a lot of it went into there, but a lot of other people's ideas. So these were our individual memos in the back.
You're talking about
so, for example, I personally felt that we should really look at the fine system, because if we have more effective use of fines, that'll free up resources for treatment, probation, supervision, day reporting, et cetera. That, to me, is a starting point, but other people might not agree. And we just hadn't gotten to that point where we could debate.
So you're talking about these first ones?
On pages 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what so I would just say I feel I could contribute the most to the task force in the county if I were to be And we'd all build on whatever, whoever's looking at recommendations 5 and 6, other people will tender. But that's where I'd like to, just to get this moving, I'd like to, part of me is giving pause because that's a lot, just even 5 is a lot, pretrial services. But I think I'd like to do that. I'm getting inquiries about pretrial. Is that where you'd go? I just seems like, because you do deferred already.
Yeah.
Seems like, and you'd have a lot of the knowledge. That we need.
Sure, that's fine. I can do either of those if you want. I can either work with you on it or do one side of it if you want to do the other.
Well, we could talk about
sure.
it. Sure. I think you'd do more of the heavy lifting on pretrial and I'd do it. But I don't know. We could talk about it and see who else wants to do
sure.
those.
I don't think we necessarily want to inhibit the new people from bringing in
new ideas.
Whatever ideas are there. I think this report should be regarded as, it's kind of like a record of the way we were talking and what we were thinking about. And my own feeling at this point, actually, is that based on the way I heard the county board reacting to this as a progress report, I think we might want to, I believe we're on the right track with that report, but I think we ought to think about when we provide a document, making the document less philosophical and more practical.
I agree.
That we ought to emphasize the you know, based on, we've been figuring out the philosophical underpinnings. We maybe want to, if we need to have them, I think we might want to make them more of an appendix than the main report. And the main report ought to be, here are the things that we think the county can do. And, you know, start... We have to talk about funding. We have to talk about, okay, you want to do something with people who are mentally ill and inappropriately in jail? Well, how would you deal with that? Well, you want to deal with pretrial services? Give a concrete example. How do we think we ought to, the one that we've talked about a lot is diagnosing the problem of overrepresentation of African Americans in the jail. What practical suggestions do we have about how to deal with that? That's a problem that I'm not sure that people know what to do, even assuming the best of intentions. So I think that we ought to try to propose pretty concrete things. And as I said before, I don't think we necessarily have to have all the answers as much as figure out a structure that makes use of the expertise that exists in this community. So, you know, I mean, another example that occurs to me, which is that, about the one I was just talking about, is that, you know, we spent one night listening to a whole bunch of people from the African American community speaking very passionately about that issue and what they thought about it. I think we ought to think about proposing some mechanism to engage those people in helping the county to solve that problem. You know, I could think of ways, but I'd be interested in, you know, some sort of structure that the county could support that would engage that community of people who seem pretty passionately interested in this problem. So rather than assume that we have all the answers, which I don't think we do, So it's less that I know exactly what that answer is, and more that I think that we ought to be proposing some sort of structure that makes it possible for that portion of our community to engage this problem and problem solve with the county on how to deal with it.
One thing that just stirs me, you suggest doing more with fines, but the problem is that is in this county part of the criminalization of poverty.
No, day fines. It's called day fines, so they're calibrated. So it's actually something that's not used very much in our country, and they're very prevalent. So that's what I'm saying, is the fine structure actually exacerbates use of incarceration.
A day for every $20 on the court box, like $750?
No. They find when that is, it's the opposite. Okay.
To follow up on Julian, I think, in a sense, he's exactly right. The easiest immediate things we can do are, if we can set a structure to push for a day reporting, to re-push for a day reporting center that hasn't got anywhere in the past, or if we can look for mental health board, county, or especially state and federal ways to fund a day reporting center. But at the same time, I think it became clear over the last few months that this task force is coming at this from a different paradigm, and we really shouldn't gloss over that, especially since it's coming at a different paradigm than the current criminal justice system, which, honestly, nobody likes the current status quo, even if they're somewhat wrapped up with it and don't know how to change it. We didn't have people coming in here. I mean, they were certainly defending their operations, saying, we're doing a lot of good things, we have a lack of money, we're doing the best we can. We didn't have anybody coming in here saying, I am really happy with the state of the Illinois or American criminal justice system. So, at the same time, I don't think we should self-censor, and I think we should. Even though, as chairman, I spent the last 6 months pushing people to do tangible things that the county board could use, we should not forget the ways that we are looking at this differently than the current system is set up. Because our colleagues on the county board may not be thinking of that the next time we talk to them.
I agree with what Mike is saying. We don't want a philosophical treatise here, but I mean, one of the major contributions that we can make in this task force is to influence the way in which people think about criminal justice, not just the jail, but the criminal justice system. And so, but I think we do need to put that out there as a philosophical point. But, I mean, I totally take Julian's issue is that we need concrete proposals, and we need concrete proposals with budgets attached to them, because we can't take a proposal to the county board that's a vague set of wishes. We've got to be able to say it's going to serve this many people, it's going to cost this much per person, it'll cost this much in setup costs, and we've studied and it's been done in this city,
and
this city,
and
this city.
Should be high on our list.
Absolutely, but you must have figures for that from the past that we can bring forward, but we need like a set of proposals, because that when we did present our report to the county board, I mean, a lot of them were unhappy that we weren't able to be more specific, that there was a kind of a laundry list of problems and wishes, but the next time around, I mean, we have to do better. I mean, we had a limited amount of time, so we did what we could, but I think that's a...
And a lot of places have these drunk driver halls and uninsured driver halls where, you know, they're in some sort of unguarded housing.
Right.
But it's a pretty embarrassing place for them to live. And a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take them off the taxpayer rolls. They don't lose their home or their family and so on. But it's pretty public... And it seems to be effective, according to what they say.
So in terms of specifics, if I were a county board member, again, I would want to say, like, for this profile of inmate, we can spend, and this is, you know, we see this all the time in other studies, it'll cost, it's mega for incarceration, and the recidivism rate is this. Same people, if you put them in a DRC, this is the cost, it's much lower, this. So they can literally see the numbers. Those are some of the tangibles. We are hoping for help from ILPP. Another tangible that I think is helpful, it's always helpful to point and say, they're doing it over here.
Right. I was going to
and
say,
so I think when we, whatever group we end up in, again, I think all of this will come back and we'll be cross-pollinating, but that's one thing I'd be looking at so I can point. This community has got the DRC. And I think I mentioned once taking a group of county board members, et cetera, up to see a private pretrial services program. And then they were like, oh, for God's sake, this is embarrassing. We don't have it. So we'd have to rummage up some funds or something like that. But anyway, I think part of the tangible we're looking at is to, if we can, give a quick, you know, example or two of what we're, of the specific.
Best practice.
Ellie?
Again, excuse me if I'm repeating,
It would be interesting to me if we did, maybe at our next meeting, spend our time coming up with what I would call the vision or the ideal. And just as a group, think about and maybe do, you know, writing on the wall or however you want somebody facilitate, and actually say, in my ideal world, this is what it would look like. In my, you know, this is what we would have, you know, and if somebody's arrested, this is what it would be like. And if somebody were jailed, this is what it would be like. And if somebody were offered options, this is what it would be like. And just kind of, it's not exactly brainstorming, but I'm saying we wouldn't damp it down at that point. But just what, because at this point, I think what we're saying is we don't like this, we don't like this, we don't like this, but what do we like? What, like you're saying, there's nobody saying we really like this system. What would that look like? And then we could say, okay, well, we have this little piece here, but it's not working real well, so how could we fix that? Or we have this piece, or this is where the hole is. Or if we did this and this, we could put them together and it would make this, which is what we want.
Okay, who wants to volunteer for that one next time?
I'm asking. I don't know, to me that would be helpful. I do better when I have a direction to go instead of...
Any volunteers?
Well, we haven't had a problem getting giant post-it boards in before. We previously suckered Lynn into serving as a secretary on that. But I'm sure if we get a marker or a Sharpie, we can do that, and it might be useful.
I mean, just to follow up on that. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I gotta go.
Don't go.
I would like to work on the course in sales tax. I like to look at the funding, obviously. We've been looking at that for the last year or so. And hopefully a couple other people will be willing to do that, to look at the funding with me, so that we can make a recommendation. I think Darlene's right. I like them all. But how much do they cost? You know, how can we get them done? How can we meet the facility need and get this done at the same time, right? So I think that at the end of the day, we should be making a recommendation to say, if you rehab that thing downtown and turn it into this day center, you can have this, and that day center. You can support these other programs and then do some modifications out here. That would be the ideal for me. I don't know if that's too forward.
Well, we still got a place to put the women.
I mean, yes.
We have to have a place to put the women. I mean, that's the fly in the ointment.
I mean, I think there's some modifications that's already been sent early in this discussion for us as to how to modify to address that need.
You know, I totally agree with doing what you're talking about. It seems absolutely essential. And the other thing that occurs to me, it's a little harder to do, maybe. That's hard enough, I guess. But you know, there are many ways in which the system as it's constructed actually, from some points of view, wastes money.
Oh, for certain.
So that one could... Reallocation doesn't only have to be from the quarter cent. That's sort of what I'm thinking. And it doesn't only have to be demonstrated by the fact that you could, if you had fewer people, if you had these alternatives, you'd save money right there. So, I mean, here's an example, which will be sometimes controversial because you probably, here's where you might step on people's toes, because people usually like what they're already doing or feel maybe defensive about it if they feel like you're not appreciating what they're doing. But I'm willing to bet, I concede I don't know, but from what I heard, I'm willing to bet that our probation services are not necessarily the most efficient in terms of accomplishing what the aims of reintegration of people into this community are. I'm just willing to take a bet that if those were looked at seriously and thought about how could probation services be changed in order to match the desire to really deal with recidivism, and what sorts of uses might you have for the money that goes into that, when I don't know how much money it is, but I'll bet it's not an insignificant amount. So I'm using that now as an example of thinking that if we're thinking this way, it's not only the quarter cent
money, although that's a significant piece. It's also just the ways in which the system currently funds what it does, and which is sort of taken for granted as like, you know, that's just the way you do it, so that's the money you spend. It's not clear to me that that has to be, well, if you're thinking about the whole system.
Here's a simple example, and this doesn't cost money. It's called a new paradigm in probation supervision. It's not the norm. But right now, the norm is to impose a plan on somebody, for example, returning from prison. The new paradigm is to have that person play a key role in the plan, and family members, and we've talked about mentors too, and they develop a plan and literally find the person. Where do you feel you're at risk? Well, whenever I drive down that street by that bar or whatever it is, and that person developing, that's not, I mean, it is arguably more resource intensive than just saying, you know, just obey the law. But still, it's more effective than what we call the PMCM model, you know, drop the urns and try to do supervision, which is impossible. If anybody's ever had kids, can you keep your eyes on them every second? So,
I just wanted to mention that I, too, think there's probably possibilities for either redirecting funds from other things or using things that are currently funded in a way that is different. Or, in addition, I think there are some opportunities for funds for different funds. I know of two grants right off the bat, one of which is out right now that's for reentering felons into community. It's a federal grant, and it's called Second Chance. And there's people in our community that have looked at it. I don't think anybody's ever gotten one in our community, but it's probably because we don't have a great plan yet. So,
can your department apply for that?
Yeah, nonprofits or governments or... Sure.
Why don't you apply?
I don't have a plan.
You know, part of that problem is not being specific to what your needs are. I mean, Diane could do that, but where does that fit into specific ideas of what we want to accomplish?
That's why I say, so what if you do it just a vision, and then you say, could there possibly be money or other resources that you could look for in those areas? But I do agree. I think you need to have your plan part, your vision part.
And that vision, that's part of what this progress report was leaning toward, creating such a vision, which I was just saying, well, maybe it's too much visionary and not enough concrete, but I understand that it's important to have it coherent.
I'm agreeing with both of you. Yeah. Saying, you know, if we had a picture that we could look at on the wall, an organization, not an organization, but like that, a flow chart, something... I like flow charts that would say, you know, if somebody comes into our system, here's the intake points, various police officers around the county. They're all different jurisdictions. They do things differently. They all refer to different places. They have this kind of system. These are the 4, 5, 10 choices that could happen. From there, these are the way people go through the system. Then at the end, these are the outcomes we want. And then we could look for potentially funding to fund one of those paths or one of those types of populations or one of those programs, or and maybe some of them exist.
Well, I think we know quite a bit of that, actually, don't we?
Well, it's implicit in these. Like, yeah. For example, we don't, so like pretrial services, for example, was one decision point, and alternatives for incarceration another, and the treatment alternatives, which treatment was clearly from arrest, et cetera. I have to tell you, I'm really torn because of the time constraints, because I love what you've envisioned. I think, again, we've done it a lot, but what I like is the freedom that comes with saying we aren't constrained. It's a safe harbor for all of us. And I actually empathize the most with those who are limited. I think, I just think with your position, you might feel safer positing ideas because they're hypotheticals. And so we get it out there. Having said that, for 3 months, even now, you know, going into little groups, kind of getting together some tentative ideas that are, you know, following your example, bringing them back, and then getting a whole bunch of other ideas, and again, getting the examples from other jurisdictions and pulling in the data, et cetera, that's a lot of work because I've worked on big projects like this. I can see me taking 3 months full time, and most of us have full time jobs. So that's where I'm a little torn. But I love that idea, and I see you get a lot of creative ideas, and we don't just focus on what the government can do, which always troubles me, but in any event. So I think that partly depends on what everyone thinks is a realistic timetable, how often we can meet, and so on and so forth.
I think doing a visioning exercise would be useful, but I think we have to, I think it needs some planning. We need a structure for it, and we need it. I mean, as Lynn's pointing out, we do have a limited amount of time, so I think we have to make sure, let's say if we say, okay, we're going to devote an hour to this, but how can we, if we're going to do this, how can we prepare for this? Maybe we have people, put ideas in beforehand or something, but I think someone needs to actually sit and structure the session. I don't think putting an easel there and giving somebody a magic marker is really really the way we want to go with this. It needs a little bit more, fleshing out in terms of providing a structure. I know it has to be free flowing, but even free flowing processes work better when there's some kind of planning as to how they're going to go and what the outcome of them are going to be and how they're going to connect up to what's going to come next. Otherwise, it just kind of gets, it's something we did, but it doesn't actually integrate into the work we're doing.
Can I offer a possible facilitator? I don't know if he's available, but I recently did a similar type of activity with a whole different group of people for homeless services in the community. Bruce Knight, who's the planning director at the City of Champaign, facilitated and came up with a couple of different exercises that we did in about a two-hour time period. And we don't know if we can shorten that for this, or maybe it's to be 2 hours, but he's got a process already. He's got the tool laid out and how he did it, and I think that it would work for this process as well.
Would you come and do it?
All right, that's what I say. If he's available, I don't know. We could talk to him, but he did a great job facilitating, and we got the result we wanted at the end, which was an idea of what a system of care for homeless people would look like in this community. So I thought it was useful. Did you go to that, Bruce?
No, I didn't.
You weren't. One of your people was there. But anyway.
The one thing also, just and again, I love the idea. I'm just trying to figure out how we can put this. One thing, though, I'm confident we cannot resolve all the issues, and we don't envision. That's why we said structurally we felt there should be this coordinating council addressed. In some ways, we are doing triage in the sense of structurally what are the most important steps that can be taken programmatically, et cetera, priorities, but not resolving it all. Because we really haven't talked a lot about all case processing front end to back end. But again, that is, ideally, that's what you do. You look at from the very beginning to the very end, and the very end is them coming back from prison. And we cover it all, but I just don't think we can in 3 months. So what do you think?
What is the timeline? I mean, I know ILPP is supposed to give a report. What's the deadline?
April 30th.
April 30th?
Okay. And then we exist for 2 months after.
Have they given any sort of preliminary report?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Because that's one thing he said they were going to do. I was reading the minutes. The minutes, which we haven't yet approved, he said in our conversation when we asked him about that, he wasn't going to wait till the end. He was going to give progress reports or some sort of reporting. So I'm just... be useful to know where they are if we're worrying about coordinating.
Well,
time-wise.
And is ILPP scheduled to do a kind of presentation to the board?
Yes.
Prior to April 30th? I don't know
when.
Okay.
They presumably will be meeting with us sometime.
Actually, they're still in the formative stages. They're working on initial drafts, but they haven't got anything documented. Dr. Kalmanoff will be here February 20th and 21st, so he will be meeting with the county board to provide an update at their regular meeting on February 21st. I don't think it's anything formal. I think this is going to be an update on progress that they have achieved to that point.
One thing I do think we need to consider, I mean, the mentally ill are clearly a problem. But there are an awful lot more people in jail who are not criminals than just the mentally ill.
Oh, yeah.
They are the people who drove without insurance, the people who peed in the park, depending whether you want to call the people who smoked marijuana criminals or not. The marijuana arrests alone nationally exceed, just marijuana, exceed the arrests for violent crime. I mean, it's kind of frightening.
Well, you know what I'll do at the next meeting is I'll bring in sticks. This one thing that, I mean, I think if I can provide one purpose here, it's to kind of show that that isn't always correct. For example, you can't be arrested for driving without insurance. What happens is your license gets suspended for not having insurance, and then you get arrested for that. The ordinance violation, you might get arrested overnight, but ultimately you aren't kept in for that. And possession of cannabis, I think we checked this last time, there wasn't a single person that was in custody for simple misdemeanor possession of cannabis. In fact, if I would ever ask the arraignment court judge for a cash bond at all, he'd probably give you quite a hard time. That. So, I mean, I know that is the perception, but I think this is a great example of where we should bring statistics in.
Yes.
And I apologize for not bringing the updated stuff, because we have those every 2 weeks or so, and I would like to bring those in, because that's one of the issues. Certainly, I think what we need to do is talk about, through pretrial and other ways, how do we minimize the time people are in custody for those things? Because you're right, they're arrested, they get before a judge in Champaign. I've worked in other counties. I'm surprised at how quickly they get before a judge compared to other counties. But usually they're bonded out the next day. But it is the issue of, you know, I believe you said it very well, if we shut down the downtown jail, where would we put women? Where would we, we agree you can't put men and women in the same pot, of course. And so one thing we talked about at the end of the last session was, is there any possible way you can reduce it enough so that you can actually get men into one pod alone? I'd like to see if there's any, you know, that's one thing we could talk, because that is a practical idea. Well, women certainly would fit in one pod. Yeah. But right now there are two pods of men. Right. And whether we can reduce men's population so that it gets to one pod, we could use the other pod for women. I have my doubts whether that's
going to happen. What about that nearly empty juvenile detention center? Can't that be used?
Separate.
JDC?
What? Yeah, it's what, for 40 people and usually has 10 to 15?
Mm-hmm. Can you have sight sound?
Could it be repurposed for women or something like that?
I don't know. That would be some
sight sound?
I don't. That's it's usually its own, you know, it's one of those things that that maybe somebody could consider doing some kind of a tour for that at some point this year, because we've seen the other facilities. But the rules for juvenile facilities are so, I mean, you would never have a mix of any adults.
I'd make a new thing for the few juveniles we have.
Sight sound separation.
I see what you're saying.
You know, architecturally, can they tweak it a bit so that's where you put the...
I mean, it'll hold up to 40, and it seems to me it would be ideal for women.
For the women census, it was probably under 40, but I don't remember. Does anybody remember?
It was about 40.
Okay.
It was 30 some odd the weekend. I mean, it seems to me one of the issues that we do need to look at is the issue of women. I mean, because we have to come up with some concrete ideas about. Sure. I mean, because it's predominantly women in the downtown jail. It's a small number of people, and the first time I checked, there was no women with violent charges. Saturday, there was two women with violence out of 30-some-odd. So, I mean, it seems that there could be a lot of possibilities in terms of how the vast majority of those women could be housed in a much lower security and less costly kind of environment. And perhaps we need to actually look specifically at that as one way of reducing the population without having to, you know, build a whole new wing onto the satellite to accommodate, to just move everybody out there.
And the other thing is, the other thing, of course, they keep in the downtown is the people have to be in isolation, right. The suicide risk, which is growing, and we all agree that something needs to be done regarding how you can account so it's safe not only for them but also for the guards. Right now, that's the only place where there aren't enough cells. You can have individual cells for people that might hurt themselves or others.
Although the conditions are like, to me, would prompt suicide.
That's true.
Which, by the way, we did get the benefit of the tour of both the downtown jail and maybe you both have been in them. Have you been?
I have not been in the downtown jail. I've been in the juvenile detention center.
But the sheriff's been very accommodating, and I think it would be helpful. I don't know. You've probably been in both facilities, but it would be helpful. I think it's good to see because then
it's good to see. Yeah. The JDC is a mansion. It's a beautiful, wonderful place.
Could we arrange
it?
I didn't see the satellite as well. So should we try to? Do you want to visit also? Or? Should we try to set up a time afterwards?
It's good to do it.
Yeah, it's helpful. Yeah. It becomes less. It was very helpful to see the downtown show.
So I'm hearing if we can do this vision thing, and if that can be arranged, and look at maybe the recommendations that you set forth of how that fits into the vision. What recommendations, and then part of that strategy then is to divide it up.
I think that's what you'd
be doing.
Take the recommendations we have and fit them into this as this vision thing develops.
Well,
they are already
clear. Those recommendations
still
need, like the alternatives to incarceration. We're really at a point, and I'll just say, because that's what I do, it makes me nervous not to be diving. Of course, I say I'm totally booked for the next 2 weeks, but 2 weeks from now, not to be diving into that, I start to see problems getting it done to the level of quality it needs to be.
Well, you could still start. I mean, we know we're going to need something for diverse, some idea.
Yeah.
We know we're going to need something.
So just a question. I would really want Scott, and I don't know what other people say. I don't know why tentatively we couldn't say with what's existing where people have particular interests, because at least we could start brainstorming and maybe identifying, Scott, I want to meet with Joe Gordon, for example. Just things that need to be done to add flesh to the bones. And you've already taken a step, and there'll be others in your area, right, that you'll think of with whoever you're working with.
Well, you'd be the logical one, I think. Mental health and substance abuse, you don't have to... They're not identical.
Just in terms of
the
vision process, I think it's really important that we have some kind of discussion of restorative justice, because I mean it's in there and it's kind of a philosophical thing that's informed us, but we haven't ever actually really talked about it, and so I just think we need to make sure that gets explored a little bit, because it has informed that to some extent, but also people have different ideas of what that means and if it's going to be part of the ideas that we're putting forward, if it's going to inform what we do or not, is pretty big, I think. So
that's why when we say theory, that really isn't theory. That at the end affects the whole culture of the system, which then drives these choices. Are we about getting a pound of flesh from everybody who violates the law?
But here's my point about that.
Yeah.
In the absence of concrete, this is what you do, that sounds to people who are not familiar with thinking about it and are used to thinking about things the way they are, like some pie-in-the-sky philosophical thing.
Right.
It doesn't sound concrete. It doesn't sound down-to-earth. It doesn't sound practical.
Right.
So it needs to be, certainly needs to be stated as to what's behind it. But it needs to be illustrated very concretely.
Right.
Otherwise, it goes right.
We talk about restorative.
And then people get off into philosophical conversations, and whether you're conservative or liberal, and all of this has nothing to do with that. It has to do with real practical, so dealing with the problems of crime that I think everybody could agree we want to deal with. So I think we want to try to. Be nice if we could avoid having this conversation in our community fall into stereotyped liberal conservative points of view that are largely philosophical. Because a lot of the practical solutions aren't really ideological. They're pretty concrete things that either work or don't work, and for which there's evidence or not, and for which you spend a lot of money and nothing happens, or you spend less money and sometime and more often things happen. I'm simply suggesting that we not let ourselves inadvertently trigger what I was afraid that I was beginning to feel when we did our little preliminary foray to the, at the, because again, it's a political body, and everybody has is used to thinking in terms of their preferred philosophy.
Sure.
To the extent that we could, you know, make it a step down for people to really just grasp something that's more pragmatic, I think we would help ourselves.
One of the things that we'll certainly have bipartisan agreement is nobody wants the cost of having so many people in jail who are not criminals.
Right.
I've never done anything criminal. Now,
it turns out to be the most costly thing you could do.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to spark a political debate, but I mean I think we have this principle of restorative justice that informed our report to a certain extent. So I think we should talk about that here. That doesn't mean that we have to necessarily put it as the front piece of what we do when we go to the county board. But I think there is I went to the county board last week and made this little pitch about how both conservatives and liberals and people beyond that spectrum on both sides have some agreement on criminal justice. The system is not working. Locking people up, building jails, building prisons is not working, and punishing people as opposed to providing them with opportunities to develop job skills, to reevaluate their lives and so forth while they're incarcerated is not working. I mean, even people like Newt Gingrich and Grover Norquist are saying this now. So there's some basis to talk about these things, and so that's what we want to do. But I think we need to just talk a little bit about what the big picture is, and then the pieces that we're going to put together, the proposals. We can't actually take that whole system and change it from start to finish. We don't have the capacity, the resources to do that. So what we're doing is we're saying we can't, in the absence of being able to do that, with the ideas that we have in terms of looking at what's broken, what's not working, and the resources we have, we can do A, B, C, D. It's going to cost this much. It's likely to serve this many people and have this kind of impact. I mean, there's no absolutes in that, but we can concretize that and at the same time get the discussion, get people thinking about it, how it works in a different way.
If you look at state budgets 40 years ago compared to now, the amount spent on education and the amount spent on jails have reversed.
Right.
Almost exactly in California and in a lot of states. Even more so in the states, I guess, in some of those southern states. But, yeah, nobody wants this huge jail system. And
all you had to do was just say no.
Well, a lot of it is stupid war.
That's what we're doing now.
That's what we're doing.
And somehow or other, We need to attack that problem, because you're always going to have jail fodder as long as you have this war on drugs, the crazy way it's run.
Well, it would definitely be good, and maybe the people on the county board, along with Carol, who was on the county board, are in the best position to make the case for how to do this in a way that is actually more fiscally responsible than the current way the funds are used. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a powerful part of that's a part of this premise, is that we're not talking about, you know, some sort of liberal spending thing that's more costly. We actually believe that it's less costly. And to somehow, so that it would be helpful if people are more...
Pardon? And promotes public safety.
Well, definitely, yeah,
so
right.
It's like public safety saves money.
Right.
Actually, it might not be less costly. And I say that because you're widening the net. There are many people now that are not getting any kind of services. They're out on the street, mentally ill, and nobody will pick them up because they don't have anything they can do for them. So where the police are not arresting them, they're not, you know, they're... I'm just saying.
Well, that's there are hidden costs.
As you develop your
services, that will,
you widen your net of people. You're saying we want to serve everybody. Let's find a place for every single person to fit. So you are in actuality widening.
Well, will these people have insurance? Will there be something for them when this new national health comes in.
Yes, I'm just saying right now there's not, and unless we also include that as a cost. So I'm not saying the cost of, you have a specified number of people that live in Champaign County, and they need a variety of services, and they might need health care, they might need housing, they might need other things, but food, there are resources for all of those things, but waiting lists for all of them. And so as you're redistributing the money from one to the other, I think that you'll find that the population doesn't get any smaller. So it's just, I'm not saying the resources won't go around. I'm just saying that it's probable that if you reallocate, you can find some ways of saving money in some areas, but it might end up costing you in some other area that you're trying to help. So it may not in fact reduce the cost, but it might actually be more effective.
Right. Well, if it's as costly, I mean, the question, I think it's possible to break even.
Right, yes, I
and
agree.
Simply.
I agree, it's possible to break even.
Reallocate the money that's used for things that are actually harmful to people rather than helpful to people.
And I would agree with that.
Can I ask you something, just in terms of for next time, if we, again, tentatively selected areas and just started, again, like, I'm just giving Scott and I as an example and maybe other people, and I heard, Julian, you say Bruce is logical. James, if you're interested in recidiva, are you thinking reentry?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Bill would be a really good person to plug in there because I know he has done correctional education, although he could, because that says other treatment programs and reentry planning. I don't know if he'd be willing. I know Carol said funding. Mike, I don't know what you, but in any event, if we kind of set that, and then to me, the decision is, do we do this vision thing the next point? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what would be the plan to get.
I think the next meeting, we probably should start with an hour of vision planning, if you can get your friend to do it. Because I think that's a great way to decide on priorities and directions and see what's related to what else. I think. And from there, we can go ahead. When do you want to meet again?
I'm hoping we can stay with Mondays, because at least in my schedule, that works out as the most feasible
day.
That's
when we got the room. One week, 2 weeks?
If you could give me a choice of 2 days, it might be, I don't know at all if Bruce can come. So if we're going to, Bruce and I, I just think it would be probably better if I could have at least two choices.
Yeah, 11th through the 18th.
The 11th through the 18th, then?
I prefer the
holiday. What?
The 18th is a holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's President's Day.
It's President's Day.
That's the problem with Mondays.
So should we
half
say
of my holidays.
For her, if she's trying to get, should we say 4th or 11th then? And then hope, I'd rather
be
the 11th.
I couldn't make it the 4th.
Well,
I
couldn't make it the 4th. See, I'm normally in St. Louis just Tuesday and Wednesday, but the 11th is the one Monday I'm in St. Louis. That doesn't mean I need to be there, but I'm sorry.
What about the 11th or the 25th?
So the 11th is
one Monday.
The 25th
is an awful lot of our time
gone. That is a day you can make or can't?
I cannot.
Oh, you cannot.
No.
So should we
normally
consider
Mondays are always, they are great days for me, but
Would you be able to do it then Tuesday, the 19th?
See, I'm always in St. Louis.
Tuesday?
I'm sorry, Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
My schedule changed. So I have Mondays and Thursdays open. But I don't need
Thursdays for people?
I can't make it that. It depends
on
which
the
Thursday
room
it is.
For Mondays, if Monday seems to have been okay for the
most of the time.
Most of the people.
Probably, well.
But,
maybe for this we should say the 11th. The
14th. I think the 11th.
The 14th is a Thursday.
Yeah,
that
would be an open Thursday night.
I was going to say, I don't have anything on my calendar marked for the county, so.
Yeah.
21st we're busy, but I don't have anything on there for the 14th.
Right, the ZBA would be next door, but
okay.
We could get
no
in this room or the other room.
Yeah.
But
this
you
is
schedule
a
and you have a conflict on the 14th or no?
I don't. It's one of those.
Yeah. Or would you rather spend Valentine's Day?
I don't like we have conflict with our spouses.
That's a good point.
A late night dinner is much more amazing.
That wasn't my conflict, but now that you mentioned it, I have a conflict.
Yeah.
I actually have no conflict about that.
Anyway, my husband's very...
We're not doing well here, folks, for dates.
All right, 11th or 14th? Let's see, show of hands. Who's for the 11th?
I'm going either way.
I can make the 11th. The 14th, I don't know at this moment. I'm
like, and the 14th?
Maybe.
Okay, 11th is it.
Well, maybe he won't be able to make it on the 11th.
So the backup is what?
I don't know. He might not be able to do it.
14th is the backup.
14th is the backup. How many can make it on the
14th? Let me ask a question. There were several other people at this meeting. Potentially, if he can't be the facilitator, I can find one of the other people that were. I mean, we'll know. They'll know how to do it. I just don't want to do it myself because if I'm in the group, he can't facilitate. So
it would be good if
Lynn
were here.
I will commit to a facilitator.
She knows a lot of stuff that we're going to need. I think it's maybe a mistake to plan it on a day that you're not going to be here for that particular exercise.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
do
apologize.
So you can make the 14th?
I can make the 14th.
So, as I said, it's possible that I cannot make it, but I might be able to make it. So I'd rather make sure that she's here.
Is that a Valentine's Day possibly?
No, it's nothing to do with that.
Bring your spouse.
It's actually a...
Where would they rather be? The facilitator? It'll be very nice. The lighting just so...
We'll send flowers to them.
Yeah, I will. Now that you guys mentioned that, I will absolutely not be here for any Valentine's Day. 21st is booked.
What if we did it on the 18th? This is not a county board committee, which is subject to the rule that says meetings on holidays.
True.
That works with me.
We just need the key, right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have some staff here.
Okay. Is that right?
Well, the beauty of that is... It's a study session.
We can also, whatever the Pujon subcommittees, people can start working on that.
Right.
Let's go for the 18th.
Okay.
Oh, can I do it? We have our board meeting on the 18th.
In the evening?
It's in the evening. It starts at 5.
And you won't be done at 6?
No.
I'm sure.
How long are the meetings?
3 hours.
Can we meet later? 7?
Could we meet?
If you would be able
early?
To part of
he's
meeting.
At 5.
Yeah. It's a holiday.
I can
we're not sad but true.
I think we
the 14th still is back to the 14th. Can we?
Since it's a holiday, I don't know if anybody else can meet earlier, but I can.
On the 14th?
On the, which day? The 18th. Is that the holiday? The holiday?
Yeah, that's
I can
the
meet
holiday.
Anytime.
I can.
Okay.
Okay, was I the only one who couldn't make the 14th for sure?
The 14th?
No, the
18th. I mean,
we initially...
The 14th, who else can't make the...
We initially said...
If I was the only one who couldn't make the 14th for sure, I might be able to make it. So maybe that... If everybody else can make the 14th... Is everybody else able to make the 14th?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mike can't.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you can?
Valentine's?
Yeah.
Oh, can we bump it up earlier and you'd go out seven?
I mean, we can do it during the day, maybe on the 14th.
Okay, so we have the same problem no matter what day it is.
Yeah,
I take back everything.
Who was it who couldn't do the 13th?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Wednesday night. Anybody?
You're busy on the 13th.
I have basketball game. Wednesday, and I got a library session.
Yeah, I can't do that. All right, so what are we stuck with, folks?
So it looks like it's.
Is it the 14th or 18th? Are we going to tell us a point, or what are we going to do here?
Here's what we should ask the person you want to facilitate it, whether the 14th or the 18th is better.
Right.
Pick that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
That's it. That's a default.
It'll be one or the other.
That's a default. Good work.
Okay.
Okay.
And so then our homework for whatever that
is. But you'll have to let us know.
I will. I will let you know.
Well,
what's the ideal system.
Okay, just work on
unconstrained by anything. And then you, I think the individuals, like those two may talk, you and I may talk, you, I don't know if Bill will, and will you do funding, or are you going to do something else?
I'll do funding.
Yeah, so you can work with Carol. I'm happy to join a little bit.
And we should add state and federal funding to that.
I think the way we could leave it, we could say, is that we would welcome any ideas now instead of what, you know, any, and we could send some your way if anybody has any epiphanies that aren't in your area.
If you could something on mental health. Huh?
I actually know these people that you're talking about. I've had lots of clients.
Yeah. That's right. And I'm thinking, you know, NAMI is also a resource for mental health.
And
I'll
commit to taking a look at the jails if I'm going to go visit the jail.
You
arrange
going
to the jail?
I'm going to meet.
Okay, I can do that, yeah.
So we'll get an email.
I will take a look at the jails and see if I think they can be easily reconfigured.
Astrid and...
I didn't bring up the minutes because literally, actually, that's not us. We're a new task force.
Are we new?
We're
old and new.
So we don't have to approve those minutes?
I don't see how. They don't exist.
Is everybody else available for the 11th? Because the only other thing I can do is drive down to St. Louis, judge, come back, and go back on Tuesday. I've done crazier.
I
drove to Lansing on Saturday with the 11th turned away. Everybody's in Tennessee, I think.
Let's approve the minutes.
Yeah.
Dan says we need to approve the minutes.
I think we can still...
We love them.
We can still attest that they're accurate.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
If the weather cooperated, I've done crazier things.
You can do that. The 11th works better for everybody.
I could drive down, be a judge, drive back, and drive down the next
day. Okay, so first choice is the 11th, second choice is the 14th, third choice is the 18th. Or depending on
for
the facilitator.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on about high speed rail.
You want to do that? Okay, somebody got to make sure Bill and Carol are coming if I'm going to drive that far.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and the only asterisk would be
and
the weather.
Facilitator also.
Yeah, well, sure.
So we should still do the facilitator, should try the 11th first. If that doesn't work, we go to the 14th or the 18th.
At the backup.
For, if people are interested in the war on drugs, we're having a film showing of this film called The House I Live In, which has a lot of former law enforcement people and others who have been won over to opposing the war on drugs. It's a free show on February 5th at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign.
Actually, well, they actually got that. I didn't know that they got them.
Pot worked really well balanced this thing out.
That's right.
I know a psychiatrist who says that everybody that comes back from Afghanistan and Iraq can
even
learn.
Yeah, and from Statesville prison.
No.
Okay.
Darlene and Astrid, what times work for you in terms of visiting the jail?
Are you going to visit? Scott, have we adjourned?
Yeah.
I want to
We have to adjourn after this week.
This week isn't fabulous for me. I'd rather do it next week.
We get home at 9:00. It's better for me by 2:00 p.m.
Is there any? What time? I don't know. We're trying to work out.
Is this the scheduling? Or you're going to go with
it? Yeah. Did you? Oh, do you want to go to the satellite?
Yeah. Because I've seen the juvenile.
Oh, okay.
What date is that?
Well, we're trying to see if there's some options.
I've got some ideas already.
Okay.
So I'm going to send them to you.
Yeah, and Julian also, because he's going to be working on the mental health. Are you Russian?
No, I want to go home and watch Rachel Maddow.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not Russian.
Well, just give me a couple minutes and I'll sort out some of the
information. Okay. Not for juveniles. They give for women.
The 7th
so,
for you?
I didn't.